The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Because of a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll move right into the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my words. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. You've heard me tell you, I'm going away, and I'm coming back. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm on my way to the Father, because the Father is the goal and purpose of my life. I've told you this ahead of time, before it happens, so that when it does happen, the confirmation will deepen your belief in me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. You thought there was more, huh? It's supposed to end there, but anyway. Grace and peace to you from God, who meets us as our Creator, as Jesus Christ, our risen and living Savior, and as Holy Spirit, who gathers us and gives us peace and wholeness. Amen. Soon after Katrina, our daughter, was born, I wondered why my wife, Linnea, and I didn't receive an instruction manual from God. Being first-time parents, we wanted an instruction manual to guide us in raising Katrina. We figured that out very early on. And we especially wanted an instruction manual so that we raised what we think is a wonderful daughter. And if you meet her, you can tell us whether we did a good job or not, or whether she is wonderful. However, being a parent is hard work. I think all of us realize that. And I still wish, though, I had an instruction manual for both of our daughters. Yeah, so, and the reason why I share that story with you is because of a thing called communications. Okay. Communications is, as we know, very important. I mean, it's hard enough to communicate with one another, isn't it? I mean, we've made our fair share of mistakes, I think all of us have in our lives, in terms of somehow we've miscommunicated to someone, or we made certain assumptions, and you know, when we assume too much, it makes a, okay, or others have miscommunicated with us, and things can go, you know, bad, really bad. And of course, one of the challenges in any relationship or in any marriage or in any family is to be able to communicate. Now, let's go even further in the area of communications, communicating with Jesus. And keep in mind, our gospel text for today begins with these words: those who love me will keep my word. Now, the question I have for you is, do you know what Jesus is saying to us? Think about that. How does God, through Jesus Christ, communicate with us so we know the word, whatever that means, and so we could follow? Because Jesus' expectation is that if we love him, we will follow his word. And that's a starting point. And I figured this would be a good one for us to have a conversation about as a sermon, because I have a group of experienced Christians here. Okay, and we have also, and I also know that what works for me doesn't mean that it works for you. Think about that. Okay, I've been around long enough to realize that everybody has different ways of communicating and receiving and experiencing the Word of God. And I'm not just talking just about the Bible, though we are very fortunate. Unlike I didn't receive an instruction manual for my daughter, we have at least a Bible, Okay, think about this as somewhat like an instruction manual on how to understand God and understand God's word and make some connection. And I think all of us through our experience can say that's one of the avenues that's available to us to getting to know and to experiencing and knowing the word of God. Okay, but I don't want to equate the Bible simply as the only way. But, okay, so what do you do at that point, especially again when Jesus says that those who love me will keep my word? So how do you know what is he saying? Okay, well, and especially we're trying to all figure that out. So what do you do? What have you experienced? What has worked for you? And there's no one way. Yes, Jim. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Okay, I think that's an important thing because, you know, Jesus says, if you love me, you will follow my word, right? So it begins with that word love. You know, I mean, when I think back upon raising my daughters, you know, I wouldn't have gone through all that stuff if I didn't love them, right? I think we persevere and try to figure things out if we love. And if we love God, if we love Jesus, and then simultaneously move on and love the people around us, then we're going to work our way through that. We're going to put in the effort to try to understand this God. So, yeah, that's a starting point. You got to have that sense that I love this God so much, and this God loves me or loves us so much that we're willing to put in the effort because it's like any other communication network. You gotta, you know, it's not automatic. It's not one of those, and of course, remember also, this is part of Jesus' farewell discourse, and did you catch it in our reading for today? Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going away. Yeah, I'm not gonna be here. And you know, when you read any of the Gospels, how often the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying even when he was there. So imagine what it's going to be like when he's not there. So love, very important. Okay, what else comes to mind in terms of, yes, Joanne?
When I'm not certain, I'll just sit with it for a while.
Okay, when you're not sure, sit with it for a while. That's very important because sometimes it just doesn't always happen just like that. You know, I've taken any number of classes, whether it be college, and there are times where you got to sit with it and say, I mean, I remember taking a physics class. Oh, my God. Realized that maybe I was destined for something else rather than and especially with God, sitting with it, I think it's an important thing to do, and maybe something comes at that point. Okay, that's a good one. What else comes to mind in terms of what you've done to communicate or get a sense as to, you know, what God's trying to say? This, yeah, Mike.
Jesus.
Okay. Okay.
So what would Jesus do?
Okay, or we follow in his footsteps. So, you know, so he does set an example, or like he washed the disciples' feet, and he says, I have set an example for you. So if we read the Gospels and we see, oh, this is what Jesus did to his enemies, or this is what he did as he communicated with the Pharisees or with the outsiders, I might want to do likewise, and there's something Jesus is saying through his actions. Or it goes back then to those great words of St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel often. When necessary, use words, right? Okay, so, and you could tell people when they walk the talk. And I know a lot of Lutherans, they don't like to talk, but they certainly walk. Okay, and I'm trying to encourage us to also do a little more talking as we walk that talk. Okay, good. So, seeing others, or when we see what people are actually doing, that speaks to us, too. Okay. Okay, others. What else? Yeah.
I usually start my day reading my daily word.
Yes.
And the Bible and pray. I have a daily prayer list that's separate from the prayer list. I go through there. Then I also put on my calendar, so I see it every morning. I put carry Christ's love in your heart and try to do an act of kindness every day. You don't know what the day holds, but you know who holds the day.
Okay. So there's several things that you do, Linda. So in this case, Linda likes to do it early in the morning. I know of others who like to do it in the evening, or they do it at lunchtime, whatever time. Spend some time with the Bible. Okay, dwell on the word. Pray. Okay, that's an amazing tool, isn't it, to communicate, to pray. I mean, it's so obvious. And it doesn't matter how long. I mean, if you happen to be a one-minute prayer, that's fine. Two, three, four, five. Notice there's no prescription for how long. If you just want to do the Lord's Prayer and meditate on the Lord's Prayer, that's fine. Okay, we're not here to give you, I'll get to you, Liz. Okay, and then also, Linda has put on her phone, you know, for each day, a particular thing to do or a particular text to focus on. And that's what some folks do. Or some people do a simple, what, they memorize some Bible verses and that becomes their mantra for the day. So if you are one of those memorizers, or if you want, everybody has one of these smartphones. Dang. And if this person that's on the street, or it could be, oh, this person disagrees with me, or you want me to forgive who, or and I think we've all experienced those kinds of things. And then there are times where we can be what, fearful, or we lack the confidence, and then, you know, Liz reminds us, but Jesus is there. Or what did Jesus promise in our reading for today that's going to come when Jesus goes? The Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is always with us. Or back to the gift of baptism. At baptism, at the end, there's this promise. I am with you always. And it's the Spirit who's always with us. And did you catch in our text for today is, don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be afraid. So do it. And you may discover something about yourself, something about God, something about the other person that you didn't realize. I mean, I'll admit that there have been things that I've been afraid to do, and I did it, and I said, wow, I can do that. And dang, I didn't die. You know, I remember my first sermon, and at the end, I prayed, thank God you weren't bored. You know? Yeah, here I am, you know, at a youth Sunday, you know, that was my first sermon. Yeah, so, or one of the things that I remember this pointing out to congregations. I try to encourage congregations to do something new, something different, something that they think they discern that God wants them to do. And they think that if they do something out of what's out of their normal routine, that they're going to die. And I said, no, you know how long congregations last? And besides, you know, the only way you could kill off a congregation, get this, in the ELCA, in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the only way you could kill off Peace Lutheran Church is you have to vote yourself out of existence. The bishop does not have the authority to do that. The pastor doesn't have the authority to do that. Only the congregation can do that. So if you decide that you want to last and you want to be only just 10 members strong, the 10 members have to decide to vote themselves out of existence. So guess what? Yeah, I know of a congregation in Oakland when I arrived on the Senate staff. And the assistant to the bishop, Noreen McGinnis, went there for a congregation meeting that they were going to vote themselves out of existence. Not enough people showed up for a quorum. So Noreen left, and then Noreen said, when are you going to schedule the meeting again? So she came back again. Not enough people in the quorum. And keep in mind, this is over 10 years ago. The congregation still exists today. Okay, so think about that. In other words, don't be afraid to do something new or something that may challenge the congregation, because you ain't going to die. You may discover life in the midst of that. So thank you, Liz. But remember, the Spirit is always with us. Don't be afraid. And that's part of it. Okay. Other folks, you know, what have you used in your discernment? And let me add that word in. You know, that's always part of the, you know, and I think it's an important word, and sometimes it gets overused, but we're trying to discern, to figure out what God is trying to say to us at any given moment. And sometimes we're not always in tune. And back to Joanne's comment, you sit with it, you pray about it, you trust in the Spirit, and you work with it and allow God to speak to us. But it's always trying to figure out what's the voice of God, because one of the challenges we have is there's a lot of voices out there. And the challenge we face is which one is really of God. So there are times where we have to wait and where we have to really work at it. And that's where the love part comes in. You really got to work at it in order to have a sense. And I know our transition team is trying to listen for God and listen to a lot of different voices, not their own, but also from the congregation and what they observe and what they hear. Same thing with the rest of us. We're always trying to do that. We're trying to discern and be careful about it. I mean, take it very seriously, because not everything that's said is really what God wants us to do. So think about that, okay? Other things that come to mind in terms of, you know, trying to follow that word, knowing that we're going to have the gift of Spirit. Yeah, Jeff. Yeah. Yes. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And you know what the fun part about parables are? Trying to make sense of them. Yeah. No. But again, it's, I love Jesus so much, I'm willing to work at it. And that's why Bible study is so important. So we could do a Bible study on parables, you know, that'd be a lot of fun. Think about that. All right, so good stuff. Okay. Okay, yes, Elizabeth.
I think that often if I try to follow Jesus, I fall short.
Yes.
So many times. Mm-hmm. So if I focus on God's grace and forgiveness,
yes.
Then that is big.
Oh, that is big time help. So don't be afraid, because, you know, it's okay to fall. Or let me put it this way. Take a look back to the disciples. You know how many times they stumbled? Or the prophets, they all stumbled. Even Moses stumbled. David stumbled. And God hung in there with them. And God then says, well, if it ain't this way, it's got to be that way. Or what? There's that old metaphor. If you go through a door, you enter a room where there are three other doors. And you get to choose another door, and you get to choose another one. And if you miss the door, guess what? God's going to present you the choice again. Or the story I like to tell about myself is when I was a parish pastor, and in 1988 will be the formation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and there's going to be what is known as a Commission for Multicultural Ministries. And one of the positions in the new Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is known as a Director for Asian Ministries. So early on, here I am, a parish pastor, and I'm having fun in Tucson. And my seminary professor mentor, Edmund Yee, says to me, Bill, I think you ought to apply for that position. I said, no, I'm having a fun time in Tucson. So, and then I went to this Lutheran meeting, and then a colleague who's in the Philadelphia offices of the Lutheran Church of America says to me, Bill, I think you ought to apply for that position. No, I don't want to do that. Yeah, and then I enter spiritual direction to discern what's next for me. And then the spiritual director, you know, after all the talking, journaling, and all sorts of stuff, spiritual director says to me, you know, Bill, God has a call for you. God wants you to take this position in Chicago. Oh. And the reason why you don't want to is you don't want to live in Chicago. And I said, yeah. And then it came time to apply for the position. And the application deadline was April. No, it was May. No, April. And then they extended to early July. And I said, oh, thank God. and then just before the deadline in July, I got this phone call from the gentleman who's going to be the executive director of the union. And he said, Bill, I understand you haven't applied for this position. Right. I want you to apply for this position. Oh, okay. So I submitted my application the day before the deadline and sent it by FedEx, overnight mail. Well, lo and behold, guess what? I eventually got called to that position. But, you know, I think that's part of the challenge of discernment. And the challenge is trying to figure out, what is this of God? And do I want to jump into it and not be afraid, right? Trusting in God and back to trusting in God's grace that, you know, when I botch it, and I can assure you I botched it a lot of times, and I botched it a number of times as a parish pastor, God's going to pick me up. And we have the Word of God, and we will do everything we can to follow that. Amen.